Welcome to the Edu All Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 54th episode of Edu All Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me at IamKessler on Twitter. And we are absent with one of our members tonight. Keegan Wade graduated high school today, so we actually recorded this at the beginning of June, even though it's going to air at the end of June. So he is out, hopefully celebrating that awesome feat. So we're going to miss him tonight, but he'll be back with us in July. And then we also want to welcome to the podcast just everybody, and thanks for the great response so far, and people have left reviews on iTunes. You can catch all of our previous episodes on eduallstars.com/podcast or on iTunes.
And we would like to thank Remind 101 for sponsoring this series of our marathon tonight of Edu All Stars. We're on our fourth episode in one night, so thank you for everybody who's been watching and hanging out with us throughout this. So thank you, Remind 101, which is a great service that allows you to text parents and students without ever needing their phone number, and they never need yours. It's completely free, and you can learn more at remind101.com or from our website at eduallstars.com.
And then lastly, before we get started, we just encourage you, if you're listening live to the show or even after the show, if you hear something really cool on the episode, that you can use the hashtag EduAllStars on Twitter and this kind of join a little back channel there, and hopefully conversations happen from there as well.
We are so excited this week for this week's guest. We have Kim Bearden, who is a teacher at and co-founder of the Ron Clark Academy in Atlanta, Georgia. She is also just about to release her brand new book, Crash Course, The Life Lessons My Student Taught Me, on July 5th. So thank you so much, Kim, for giving us some of your time this evening.
Oh, I'm excited to be here with you all. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess the best place for us to start is just give us a little bit of background about you and how you got into education.
Well, this is my 27th year that I just completed this week, so I've been doing this for quite some time, but I was always one of those kids who just loved school, and I thought, you know, what better way to spend my life than to remain in school? So I chose very long ago that I wanted that path to be a teacher, and I knew I wanted to do something significant, something that would give my life purpose, and it has proven to be the profession I was definitely called to do. Over the course of the 27 years, I've done many things. I have been a principal. I've been a curriculum director. I have been a what is called a learner support strategist. I've done many different things, but I always return to that classroom because that's where my heart and soul really is. So currently at the Academy, not only am I the co-founder, I'm the executive director here. Ron and I are the administrators of the school, but I still teach each and every day. I teach language arts.
Awesome. So let's kind of jump right into when you won the Disney American Teacher Award for Outstanding Middle School Humanities Teacher. I just want you to kind of talk a little bit about that experience and then kind of maybe what kind of doors opened up from winning that award.
Well, many doors definitely did because, you know, Disney does everything in a very grand fashion. And it's sad that they don't actually give that award anymore. But it was in the year 2000, and one of my students actually nominated me. They get about 70,000 nominations from across the country each year, or they did back at the time when they gave the award. And so to have been even considered was a huge honor. And so when I received the nomination, I had to submit all types of paperwork and videos and things like that. And they narrowed it down to 33 finalists. And we were flown to Hollywood, and it was actually a life-changing thing for me in many ways because that was when I met Ron Clark. And so I was actually at the Century Plaza Hotel. I was all of 34 years old, and I was very nervous because there were these other 33 honorees from across the country. And so I was just standing there and didn't know quite what to do with myself. And this precious little girl walked up to me, and she said, my name was Kim Stewart at the time. She said, oh, Miss Stewart, I'm so fascinated by how you use a fashion show to teach descriptive writing. Could you tell me more about it? And so I thought, wow, Disney, they have every detail. They actually have this student, you know, actress, this ambassador for Disney who knows all about my bio. Well, lo and behold, it was not an actress for Disney. It was actually one of Ron Clark's students. And he had actually brought his class out there and had actually prepped them where the students had learned all about all of the nominees, all about our bio, how we taught, who we were. And I was so taken by this child. And then I met all of his students. And so, you know, when I met the students first, I said, I've got to find out who is the teacher of these incredible kids. And so it was really life-changing because when I met him, we just hit it off, and I said, you know, there's a lot of things I know I do well as a teacher, But I don't know if I have prepared my kids for life in the way that you are, because these students were so poised and articulate in the way that they were able to command a room. I said, you know, show me how. And so we became fast friends, and, you know, we shared ideas, and that really did open up the doors to where I am today, because over the next several years, we just stayed in close touch with each other. We became like brother and sister. And he had actually said to me very early on, back in that year 2000, he said, you know what? You and I, we see things alike. We should start a school together one day. And, you know, educators, we all say that sometimes. You know, if I had a school of my own, this would be how I would structure it. We've all felt that way at least one day. And so I said, sure, Ron, that sounds like a great idea. I never knew that it would actually become a reality. And all these amazing things started to happen, especially in Ron's life. Oprah brought the Disney teachers on the show, but she was very taken with him. He just had that it factor, you know, that passion, that enthusiasm. It just came through. And so she told him to write a book, Essential 55. He used that book, the proceeds from that book, put him in a foundation, and called me up and said, now we have the funds, let's do this school. And so he asked me if I would move to Harlem to help start the school with him. And my family was in Atlanta. I had been teaching Atlanta for quite some time. And I said, you know what, if you come to Atlanta, consider doing it here. I'm 100% in. So I guess the rest, as they say, is history. But just that chance meeting, that one year, the two of us coming together, it just created a perfect partnership that has proven to be transformative for both our lives and many students.
Now, and this journey of starting your own school, even with the different kind of avenues that you had open to you, it still wasn't an easy journey, was it?
Oh, gosh, no. You know, if I had known how difficult it would have been, I don't know if I would have been brave enough to do it. So sometimes ignorance is bliss. You know, I knew how to structure curriculum. I knew how to teach. We knew that when we were in that classroom, we would know what to do. But the funding was far harder than we ever even imagined. And I say that even after we had purchased the facility that we needed. And so it took us about 3 years from the day that we said, okay, we're really going to do this, and to the day that we opened our doors. It was a three-year journey of making sure that we did everything right, because, you know, we believed all along it's better to do something small and do it right than to just jump in too quickly and not get all the pieces where they need to be. Quite often, educators will actually contact us and say, I'm ready to start a school, and, you know, this fall. Can you tell me how to do it? Can we meet for coffee? And it takes a whole lot more than just that quick conversation, because it is really a three-year journey of where we studied schools. We both had the opportunity, because we both do a lot of traveling across the country to speak to educators, and so we actually have the opportunity to visit a lot of schools. So we both visited many schools, and we talked to experts, and we talked to schools that were working to see the pieces of what they were doing. And then we had to develop so many relationships with people to help give us the kind of support that we needed monetarily, with the things that we needed, in-kind donations for the school. So it was a three-year journey of working day and night to bring it open while I was still teaching full-time, and during part of that time serving as a principal. So it was kind of a tough journey, but worth every bit of it. Sometimes the things you work the hardest for are the things that mean the most.
Right. So what would you say is the mission of y'all's academy?
What we are trying to do is we're trying to create a school that is a model school of what we think every school should be. But we know that not every child can come here. So our bigger mission is that we want every child everywhere to be able to benefit from the tools and techniques that we've learned here. And so for that reason, we share our mission with educators from everywhere. And so the people, those of you that may not know, that may be watching, our school, in addition to being this model school, we are actually an educator training facility, and I think that's what makes us most unique or distinctive. Each year we have over 3,000 educators from around the world. This year it was about 3,463, I think was the final number as of this week, who come and actually sit in our classrooms and watch master teachers teach. Ron teaches every day, I teach every day, but we have a team of teachers that I'm completely in awe of. We go and educators come and sit in their classrooms, watch their tools and techniques, and take them hopefully back to their classrooms. We're trying to create this revolution in education where we show that all kids can learn if you produce the right kind of environment. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, well, what is it we do differently? There's three things that we call our three pillars that we focus on the most. And first piece is that student engagement piece. How do you get every single child in the classroom engaged in the learning process? The second thing is academic rigor. We are huge on high expectations for learning, but also how do you get kids to achieve those high expectations? And we show educators that. And then the final piece is the climate and culture that we create. How you have a passion and joy for learning, but coupled with manners and discipline, respect, really creating a school where students feel like they're safe, but there's a joy for learning.
you mentioned about 3,500 teachers coming through your school. How do you keep up the kind of energy that's really needed to be in a classroom every single day without the lulls that, you know, most teachers have? You know, how, you know, every single day you're on stage not only for your children but for all these educators across the country. How do you keep that up?
Well, you know, one of my students, is it bad? I'm going to grab something that one of my students gave me yesterday. Hold on. It says, wait a minute. I guess I'm not supposed to leave the picture in this thing.
No, you're fine.
But this was one of my gifts from one of my students. Can you see that?
Uh-huh. Yes.
It says, this classroom runs on love, laughter, and lots of Diet Coke. So that's...
Yep, that reminds me of Daisy Dyer Dewar, that she lives on Diet Coke. She said that's what she drinks every morning for breakfast as a principal, is as a Diet Coke.
So that's part of the honest answer. The other part of the honest answer is that, you know, we have kind of have that saying here, you fake it till you can make it. And by that, I mean, we know what we're doing, but some mornings you do feel exhausted, you feel run down, you've got so many things going on, so many things you're trying to juggle. All educators experience that. But when you walk in that classroom, you have to dig deep, and you have to project that energy, that enthusiasm. But the great thing about it is when you do that, it comes back to you. When you do that, you get that energy back from your students, and then that's where that adrenaline takes over and enables you to do what you have to do. The other piece of that is that we're very big with our staff about telling them that the greatest thing that they can do first is to do this. And by that, I mean lift up each other, bond together. No, don't misunderstand. Kids come first at our school. That is the most important thing, are these children in this building. But we have tried to create this climate and culture here where our staff understands that we value highly when they lift up each other, when they support each other. When one of us is having a bad day, somebody walking in going, hey, I got you. What you need? How can I help you out? What is it you? What can I do to make this easier for you? And so that's a huge part of the expectation of being someone who works here.
Well, I want to tell you, Kim, I visited the Academy almost 2 years ago now, this August or this November or something. But, you know, one of the biggest things that stuck out to me was when I was watching your class, and you talked about, and you've talked about this earlier, about building those experiences for kids and getting them to love learning, and you talked about how you build these themes in, and you told us about that when you were kidnapped by an alien, or when they bring in their beach towels and it's a beach day, or all these great things. And I took that idea and ran back with it to my school into this whole hospital theme and transformed the whole room. And it was I did that at Christmas, and for the next 6 months, that's all my kids talked about. And it's one thing to hear teachers say, you know, you got to build these experiences, they make such a difference, but when you go through and take a leap and do something like that, it was incredible the amount of buy-in that I got from my kids and how much they just wanted to have those extra experiences that were outside the norm. And I did things like you said. I built it up for a week, and I said, oh my gosh, you're not going to want to miss Friday. You're going to want to be here. You want to do this. And they had no idea it was coming, but they were like, what is going to happen on Friday? I don't know what he's talking about. And so, I mean, I to the listeners, I just say, you know, when I got to go and observe the Academy and you and the other teachers in action, I mean, it's just such an invigorating experience to see what pure passion looks like and to see the kids totally buy in regardless of their background or where they come from.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited to hear you did the hospital. That's great, Todd. Yeah, you know, many years ago, I know that we're limited sometimes in schools and where we can go. We can't take your kids outside of the classroom. You know, your field trips, funding, all those cuts make it very challenging for educators. But I firmly believe that you have to expose your children to the things that are beyond your classroom walls, even if you can't leave the school. And so a long time ago, I started to look for those kinds of solutions. I thought, if I can't take my kids outside of my classroom, how can I bring the world into my classroom? And so that's when I started to kind of be known for doing things like I would transform the room into a hospital where we operated on grammarians who lost their part to speech, or I changed my room into an Italian restaurant where we had, you know, punctuationos, where we punctuate with pasta, or changing it into Mount Olympus where we have students take selfies of all these different pictures of what's happening in myths, but actually weave them together into the stories. So those kinds of experiences, you are so right, Todd, when you'll see some of those students that you taught last year, 15 years from now, and the first thing they're going to say is, I remember the day that we did this. And I think that that's what we're missing sometimes in education, is that we want education to be memorable. We don't want it to where kids just memorize things for a test. We want it to become a part of their learning. We want it to be, long after students leave my classroom, I want them to reflect back on what I taught them and remember it because of the joy that was associated with it, because of the creativity that was associated, not because they bubbled in something on a standardized test.
Right. So you also have a new book coming out on July 15th called Crash Course, The Life Lessons My Student Taught Me. Tell our listeners a little bit about what that book's about and what they can expect when getting if they get a copy.
Well, you know, it's been actually a very exciting journey to write this book. For several years, people were saying, when are you going to have a book come out? And, you know, Ron had just written the book at the end of Molasses Classes, and he had 101 things that go on at this school. And so, you know, I really was very reflective. I thought, what piece do I need to contribute? Because I didn't want a book that was just solely teaching strategies. And what I realized when I spoke to educators and had the opportunity to visit with educators, I think that the piece we miss sometimes is that heart piece. There are teachers out there who they know what to do, but sometimes they don't have it in them to do it because they're broken, they're overwhelmed, they're overworked, they have personal issues in their own lives. And so I started to really think about those qualities that we all need as educators, resilience, tenacity, building the relationship with your students. And I thought, how do I keep those fires burning? And the same thing that you had said, you know, how do you keep that joy, that enthusiasm? And I realized it was the experiences that I had had with my students that reminded me of those things. So the book is actually an interesting little journey. It is all told through stories. In 27 years of teaching, every single quality that I think that we need as educators, whether it be those ideas of resiliency or appreciation or, you know, stick-to-itiveness, those types of things, but they're all told through personal stories of experiences I had with kids and what I learned along the way. And some of them will make you laugh quite a lot. Some of them will make you cry. And a lot of times I'm very honest about mistakes I made, especially early on as an educator, but I think that that's real important too, to be real transparent about if I could have done this over, I would have handled it this way. So it's a book primarily for educators, but I think that parents will get a lot out of it as well. And really anybody who has a love for kids and understands what kids can teach us will enjoy the book too.
So I've read a lot about Ron Clark Academy through Ron's books and blog posts and those kinds of things. Can you think of like a, and it seems like there's a very tight-knit community within the teachers, within the families that go to school there. Can you think of like certain actions that you guys do as maybe administrators at your school that cause that community to come together and to build?
Yes. We're very, very intentional about building community with our families, not just the students who are here in the school, but also with our staff and our extended family. So there's a lot of little tricks that we use. Now, granted, we are a smaller school than many schools, so sometimes
did we lose her?
May have.
We require every student who is enrolled in this school to memorize the names of every student who will be entering in the fall. And there's a test. They have pictures and the names, and they have to memorize them. And you think, well, how is there pushback? Well, the very first year, the kids thought, well, this is going to be a lot to do. But now there's never a pushback because the students remember how it felt when they walked in on the first day of school and everyone knew their names. Can you imagine? You know, if you've always felt invisible in school, our staff, we have to learn the names of every single adult that is affiliated with our students, their parents, their guardians, anybody who's going to be coming to the school on behalf of that child. And that shows those parents a sense of respect, too. Maybe parents Absolutely. Who haven't gotten respect from schools in the past, because, you know, if I call Ms. Jones Ms. Smith, and her last name is Ms. Jones, you know, her child's name may be Smith, it's really important that you the parents know I know who I'm talking to. We do home visits for all of our students, and we are very, very open with the parents at the home visits about the climate community that we want. We also have a house system that many schools are doing across the country now, where our students are divided in houses. They're sort of like their fraternity, their family within the bigger collective of the school, and their houses, that's something where they show a tremendous amount of pride as well. There's actually a huge wheel spin ceremony the first day of school, and each student spins our wheel and they run up our stairs, and if you're not aware, there's a slide in the middle of our school, so they slide down the slide, and when they come out, the students are placed in one of four houses, and immediately they have a family. They have, it's almost like a fraternity.
Sure.
And they have those upperclassmen who look out for them, who mentor them, who are role models for them, and they meet together often. So there's a lot of things that we do to really make our parents and our students feel like we are serious. Even when our students leave, part of the reason I'm here late tonight is that on Tuesday night we have a huge party for our alumni. You know, before graduation on Thursday, we want to come back together and celebrate. Our very first group of graduates will be going to college in the fall. So we stay connected to all of our kids.
That's great. Can you think of a moment in your career that you look back and it is the proudest moment of something that you've accomplished so far?
Wow, that's a big one. I would say that a moment where I was tremendously grateful was the very first graduation that we had was actually of the Ron Clark Academy, was 4 years ago this week. And so on that date, you know, we had our students, we had it at the, Georgia Tech, and we had one group with one class of students. You know, we started small with just fifth and sixth grade students, but we had our very first group of graduating eighth graders, and 1,000 people showed up to see these children graduate. And at that point, those students, when we had this vision for the school, we kept thinking about what we would do, what we would impart, how we would change and transform students. And I think that what I sold short was I didn't realize how much the students would transform us and how much our students would affect other people. And so as I sat there in that auditorium, and one by one I heard different students get up in front of 1,000 people and talk about how the school had transformed their lives, how the school had changed them, it was one of the best nights of my entire life, because I realized we really did it. You know, so many times people have dreams, and what a blessing for our dream to have actually come true, that we actually created this school and we set out to do something very grand, and it's actually all come together.
So it's incredible. If someone were to – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm off. You're good.
So if someone were to describe you in three words, what are three words you would hope they would use?
I would hope that's – there's a lot. It's really – I would hope that they would say uplifting. I have a servant's heart. I believe it's most empowered to uplift others more than to do things. I would hope they would say selfless, and I would hope that they would say I'm inspirational.
Great.
Awesome. So looking back 5 or 10 years and being able to go back and give yourself a piece of advice, what advice would you give yourself that you know now, but you would give yourself 10 years ago?
You can't make everybody happy. Everybody's not going to love everything you do. And when you go out on a limb to try something new, you have to realize that you're going to have people who are 100% involved, invested in it. And if somebody doesn't enjoy what you're doing, or somebody doesn't see it the way you do, that's okay. You know, there's not a single person in the world that everybody approves of what they're doing. So I've had to learn to get a much thicker skin. I had a thicker skin as far as, you know, as an administrator and things like that, you have to have a thick skin. But, you know, I'm so passionate about this school. It's such a part of me. It's my life's work. It's my heart. It's my soul. It's everything, that I'm very protective of it. So sometimes if somebody were to say something negative about the school, a lot of times it's based on misinformation or misconceptions, something that they really don't understand the way that it really is. I used to just lie awake at night and worry about that. And I realize now that I can't. I just have to keep focused on what I know we're doing and the purpose that I know that we have, and not let those kinds of things deter me, frustrate me, upset me, and just understand that we're doing what we need to be doing.
Now, I know a lot of people read y'all's books. What kind of books do you guys read, or do you read? Do you have any book recommendations of either education or not?
Well, you know, honestly, what I do during the summer is I try to read all the books the kids are reading, and I think that's important.
Oh, cool. That's a great idea.
You know, so I've just started the Divergent series this week, because this is our last week of school, so I've just got the very first Divergent book because my kids have gone crazy about it, so I have to read all three books, I've been told. So I did that last summer. It was all the Hunger Games books. I'm a little bit behind, I know. I'm like, but at least I get them read. So so I do that because so many times we integrate those kinds of things with what we're doing with our students. I guess the last nonfiction book I read that was probably very fascinating to me was the book Outliers. I thought that was very, very fascinating.
Great book. It's a great book.
But during the summer, I'm on planes a lot, and I travel to lots of different schools. And usually what I do is I load up on all the books the kids tell me during the school year that they are their favorites, and that's what I read during the summer. So we're starting with Divergent.
Cool.
Divergent's one of the series that I want to try to read this summer too, because everybody's been talking about it. I've read Hunger Games. Love those.
You know, you cannot do this before. To read the book before you see the movie. I will tell you, several years ago, but, you know, I had never read I was way behind on the Harry Potter bandwagon.
And, so was I.
Yeah, see, and the summer that right before the school opened, I thought, I've got to read this Harry Potter book because I'm the only person on the planet who is not. And I picked up the first book, and I didn't stop reading until I finished the seventh. I started reading them after they were all out. And I literally couldn't put them down. It was the craziest thing. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm obsessed. And when the seventh one was done, I felt this sense of mourning. I was like, I have no more book to pick up. So I did fall victim to that once I started reading it. It was really fascinating.
I felt the same way. That was one of those books that I was like, number one, that's such a big book. And number two, I don't want to buy into it because everybody's reading it. I don't want to read it because everybody's reading it.
Exactly.
And when I finally sat down, I was the same way. I was like, I can't stop. And then now when the seventh one was over, I was like, what am I going to read now?
Yeah, and I do think it's so important. I think sometimes we think as adults that, you know, if you read adolescent fiction and things like that, that, you know, it's beneath you. No, I mean, J.K. Rowling is brilliant. Every single image that she paints with her words as an English teacher, I was just so fascinated with how she was able to bring things to life in her books. And so, you know, as I'm reading things, I'm constantly trying to read things, too, to pull out pieces of things, obviously, to show for different examples of style for students when we were doing writing in our class. So that's important, too.
Well, Kim, one of the last things that we always like to ask our guests before we end is, what is something in education that you are really passionate about right now?
I would just say that I'm very, very passionate about the idea of educators are very – I have the unique opportunity to meet over 3,000 educators a year at least, and I think that what we're losing sight of is I think that I'm very, very concerned that there's a spirit of brokenness. There is a sense that people are overwhelmed, you know, because there's this new thing, there's Common Core, now there's not Common Core, maybe there's Common Core. You know, the teachers are frustrated, they're overwhelmed, they're overworked, and that kind of thing. And so what I'm very passionate about is still teachers not losing sight of the fact that many of them feel powerless. You know, they feel powerless about what they teach, whom they teach, where they teach, what they teach, what resources they have, what resources they don't have. And I still want them to understand the sense of power that they do have, and that is that ability to connect with those students. And so this may not be as, you know, philosophical as an answer as you may want, you know, or, you know, about talking about Common Core or, you know, or differentiation or something like that, but I am most concerned just because of having the opportunity to engage with educators that so many are feeling disillusioned with the profession. So many are on the verge of leaving, and so many of them are broken. And I often say to educators, it's very hard for broken adults to help broken children. And so I feel like that we as educators have to bond together. We have to lift each other up. We have to be a support system to each other. And even when there's things out of your control, we still have to not lose sight of those kids who are sitting in your classroom every day. They do need you, and somehow we have to rise above all that mess, come together, find solutions for problems, but while we're doing that, not lose sight of those kids who are in our classroom every day.
I think that it hits the nail right on the head. I love that. Thank you. Well, Kim, we want to thank you so much for giving us some of your very precious time to come on our little show here. It has been a blast getting to learn from you and hear your story, so thank you.
Can I tell you something real quickly?
Sure.
Yeah. So if any of you are out there and you've never visited the Academy, please look us up. It's RonClarkAcademy.com. Our website is under construction. The website, when we built that 9 years ago, it was a rocking website, but it is being reconstructed. So you can still go on and find out about educator training. But as of we're launching our new website in August, so we're so excited about that. And we're actually building a new educator training facility that will be done this winter. And so in January, we're going to have a huge National Educators Conference, huge grand opening. It's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. And so I hope that you'll look at that. And also, thank you all for the interest in my book. It comes out July 15th by Simon & Schuster. And so I'm real excited about that, too. So thank you all. And thank you for what you guys do to shine a spotlight on good things in education. I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
What you are
doing. Yeah,
and we'll include links to the Ron Clark Academy website on our website underneath this episode, in addition to how you can get a copy of Kim's book. We'll have all those links on there, too. And for those of you that are listening, you can follow us on EduAllStarsHQ on Twitter and the hashtag EduAllStars. You can check us out on EduAllStars.com and find this episode and previous episodes on iTunes by searching out EduAllStars with no spaces.
And then if you're listening live right now, we're actually not going to be doing another episode in June, so we'll see you in July. And if you're listening on your podcast or actually on your phone, we probably are listening at the end of June, so we'll see you next week. We'd also like to thank Remind 101 for sponsoring us for the last several months. Awesome product. Todd and I both use it in our classroom daily to talk to parents, students, small groups in class. Super awesome, awesome product, and it's totally free.
Thank you again, Kim, and thank you for everybody listening, and we will see everybody soon.
All right, good night.